Blog Talk Radio.
At Olive Garden, nobody loves Alfredo quite like we do. We make it from scratch using simple ingredients like garlic, butter, cream, and fresh Parmesan. So you can enjoy it poured, twirled, or dipped. From that irresistible first taste to the final creamy bite. With our one-of-a-kind Alfredo, the possibilities are endless. Olive Garden, we're all family here.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Change.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Trent Make Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Richard, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. You guys, I am so excited to be on. You know, every time that I get the opportunity to become do this radio show, I just always feel like it's a blessing. It always feels like the first time all over again. So I never take this opportunity lightly. I'm very, very grateful and honored to be, you guys, your host for tonight. And I hope tonight you enjoy the show. For all my listeners that listen to me every single month, you guys know what it is. You know that everything that I do, the word says in Proverbs 3:5-6 that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not towards our own understanding in all our ways, not a little bit, but all our ways, to acknowledge him and he would direct our path. So I realized that I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was just talking about submission and how maybe there's some things that you haven't submitted fully to God. And I was thinking to myself, like, I done gave up my whole life, you know, turned my whole life around. So that's the question for anybody listening. Maybe have you, for those that do believe, you know, ask yourself, is there anything else that you still need to lay down at the altar? Is there still anything else that you need to submit to God? I love God. I love Jesus. Like I said, whenever I get a chance to talk about Christ, I have to talk about him. I got to brag about him. I love him. Salvation is offered to any and every person, and he's here for you. If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, I just want to let you guys know that he's the answer. He's our hope. He's our bridge to God. He's our only hope. You know, there's no other way but Jesus. So definitely want to tell you guys about that. Also want to let you guys know, I have a series called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. You guys can check that out on YouTube. The subtitle, Bitter and Broken Web Series. You guys can also check me out on Facebook, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series. Instagram, at Hurt People Series, if you guys want to personally reach out to me. My name is Ricardo Richard on Facebook and on Instagram. So I had a movie premiere just about almost 2 weeks ago. Really, really excited about it. Really, really grateful. And I'm really, really thankful, you guys, about this whole movie premiere. But, you know, enough about me. I have my guest. I just like to give all my all the people that come on to my shows, I love to give them their flowers. I got a chance to meet Tommy, I think about maybe 2-3 years ago. I feel like it was 2020. It could have been 2021. I'm not sure. But I got a chance to meet him through his god brother, who's also a friend of mine. And his name is Bashir. So shout out to Bashir. I got a chance to meet him, and in the moment I met him, just real genuine guy, very humble, just an overall amazing man, and I love that he has a love for God, and it's just beautiful, and I love to see men, and they'll be passionate, and especially about God. So I just wanted to give a big shout out to Tommy, and thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you, sir, for having me. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I was texting you before, like, yo, I'm really, really excited about the show. I'm excited about, you know, the things we're going to be talking about, the things we're going to discuss. And I'm hoping that anybody that's listening to the show tonight, you know, I'm hoping that it'll touch somebody and it'll help somebody, you know. And if anybody, you know, been going through anything, I'm just hoping that maybe tonight it'll be the answer to someone's prayer.
Yeah, I feel that too, man. Yes, sir.
I realized before we get into questions, I realized, like, you know, when God blesses a person, an individual who wants to be submitted to him, who wants to give God our life, we give over our lives to God because he's freely given his life to us. I realized that even when God is blessing us, it's not just about us. And that's a realization, bro, that I've been getting recently. Like, it's not about you. You know, it's like when things happen to us, it's not just happening to us. It's happening for other people, you know. And so when we go through these battles, remember that God is with us. Like, he's really with us and he's personal. So shout out to anybody that needed to hear that. So I wanted to start out, like, just straight up. So going over some questions, I wanted to know, like, so how about we just start off with just tell us, like, who you are, tell us where you're from, Like, let's start off with that, and let's just start from there.
Sure. So, first of all, Ricardo, thank you so much for having me on the show, man. I definitely appreciate you, and you were just speaking about giving people their flowers while you have the opportunity. And I'm also a believer in that. So I want to give you your flowers as well, and just let you know that I appreciate you having me on the show, and also I appreciate your spirit, your humility, and your love for God, and you know your sensitivity, and your strength and your resilience for every battle that you fought through, and just the foundation that you're standing on now. So. I definitely got to say that I definitely appreciate you for that and give you those flowers. And in reference to me, who I am, my name is Tommy Suggs. I also go by T.W. Suggs. And I am a spoken word artist. I am a storyteller primarily, an author, a talk show host. I was born in Atlanta, but I was raised in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is where I did all my schooling and everything else like that. So I'm a Philly boy. I'm a Philly cat. And like you said, you know, I definitely love the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Jesus is the center, and he's definitely my rock. So that's kind of what I do. Who I am. I just released my first book last year, actually yesterday, the 21st of May was its one year birthday. So I'm pretty stoked tonight. So God is definitely dope and God is definitely good. That's what's going on with me. That's where I am.
Well, that's amazing. I want to go into the book, but I also, when we was talking about giving each other their flowers, like, again, like, just meeting you, and ever since I met you, just straight up genuine, like, and I realized that there's not a lot of many people like you, you know? There's not a lot of people who are genuine, people that you meet that don't want anything from you, just want to help you, just want to see you do good. So I really, really appreciate you. Like a lot, you get what I'm saying? And even recently where I was able, a couple of months ago, to be able to be vulnerable with you and share some things with you that I don't necessarily, people don't know about me. You get what I mean? So I felt that I could be safe, and I felt like it was a beautiful thing that black men or any men could come together and have healthy dialogue. You get what I mean?
Yes,
so
sir.
I just want to say I appreciate that, because it's like you're a fresh breath of air, you know?
Wow.
And I just got to get at you. And it's just like no cap, and no like sugar coating, or it's just a real deal. So I just feel like I just have to say that to you, because I was talking to my aunt just before I got on the show, and I just said, it's rarely where you meet people like diamonds. You meet people that's worth more than gold. And it's like, when you find those people, you know, you cherish those people. And I've recognized in my 30 something years of living that everybody doesn't know how to love, right? Essentially. So sometimes people come in your life and you're meant to love them and help them build and put back together their broken pieces, and not realizing that hurt people do hurt people. And sometimes you show up in a way where you love people, and sometimes love is foreign to people, which is so crazy, you know?
Yes,
so
sir.
I'm grateful at a time of my life where I was able to receive that genuineness and appreciate, you know, just love, the love of God that just falls off you. So just thank you. I just want you to continue to be you. Never stop being you for nobody. You get what I'm saying? Mm. Like, continue to be you and just stay true to who you are. Like, and I appreciate you just being you. You get what I mean? Because it's not a lot of, I feel like, especially black men, is just like, you are who you are. You ain't trying to pretend to be anybody hard or anything. Like, you're just being you, and you're just walking in your purpose. So it's just, I love it, bro. I love it. Like, I love it. And I can just imagine so many other people, you know, that look at you and look up to you and inspired by all the things that you're doing. And so I really thank God for you. So let's get into this book or whatever. I want to know, what inspired you to you know, tell us the name of this book and what inspired you to write the book.
Absolutely. So the book is entitled Running Through the Rain, My Stories, Reflections, and Kind Reminders. And Running Through the Rain is actually a play on words, right? So in the introduction of the book, I speak about how rain and our stories or our truth is synonymous, how there's parallel themes there. So if we were all outside, and, you know, at one point in time when we first went out, it was nice and bright and sunny, and out of nowhere, the clouds got dark, they got gray, they got heavy, and out of nowhere, it just started to rain real hard. The first thing that we're all going to do is that we're going to try to find an umbrella, and if we don't have an umbrella, we're going to put our jackets over our heads, we're going to try to run for cover. And I feel that that's the same way we do with our truth, is truth can feel uncomfortable like rain. Truth can be cold. Truth can be freezing. But the book, the whole premise of the book is instead of running from the rain, instead of putting up an umbrella, there are certain parts of your story that you have to allow to touch your skin. Instead of putting up an umbrella, instead of running from the rain, run through your rain. Don't run from it. Run through your rain. Allow your stories to touch you, the things that hurt, the things that were uncomfortable. Because a lot of times we can remember our stories, but it doesn't, because we remembered it or because we remember our stories doesn't necessarily mean that we allowed those stories to touch our skin. And until we allow our stories to touch our skin, and until we admit that this is what happened, if this is the dark area that I was in, and here's who touched me, and here's the tears that I've cried, and here's where I was broken, if we can't get to that point, then we cannot expect to be healed. Even when we look in the Bible and we're looking at the relationship between God and Adam, or God and Adam and Eve, what happened is that Adam was like, you know what, after they ate the fruit, Adam, you know, went into hiding. He was hiding from that truth. He was hiding from that story, that narrative. But when he finally confessed and said, yep, this is what happened, the first thing that God did, one of the first things he did after he dealt with the sin, the first thing he did was cover. The first thing he did was shield. And so that's kind of the premise of the story. Or the premise of the book is, it's encouraging, and what I'm doing is to help my readers become okay or to be okay with their stories. I'm telling you my story. I'm telling you my story when I was touched at a young age. I'm telling you my story what it was like to be rejected. I'm telling you my story when I had to ask my mom, you know, I'm going through. I'm struggling in my mind. Mom, I hear a voice that's telling me to kill myself. So I'm telling you my story, so that you can be okay with your story and so you can tell yourself your own story. And you asked a question in reference to where this came from. This book was a long journey. This was something that I played around with in my mind, like, okay, I want to write this, but I'm not sure how to approach it because there's different ways and different perspectives you can take writing and you can take your story. Whenever I got to that point where I was kind of stuck, it was like right there on time, somebody would come out of nowhere and say, how are you making out with this book? And keep on writing, keep on writing, keep on writing. So I had to tell my story, even though certain parts of it was very vulnerable and very sensitive, I had to tell that story so that somebody else could be free.
Oh my goodness. Listen, I love that. We're gonna take this track and then we're gonna continue, all right? So just stay tight. Track next by international DJ legend, Brother L.
Get blurry, don't know where we're headed, and it's scary.
All right, we are back. Listen, you guys, I want to say this before we go to our caller in queue. I want to let anybody know I'm always a strong advocate of living on purpose, and also what I always tell people: when I die, I want to die completely empty. Everything that God has put deep down on the inside of me, even before my mother or father got together, I want to fulfill everything. And I encourage my listeners out there, listen, you too have a purpose. You too have something that God wants to do in and through your life. And if you're at Burger King, guess what? Flip them burgers to the glory of God, and to God take you to where you want to be. I want to let anybody know that's listening to this, listen, you are worthy because God says you're worthy. And a lot of times we get so fixated on these jobs, and we feel like if we have this job, then we'll have then we'll be worthy. But I want to let you know you're worthy. You feel me? Working at the McDonald's, you're worthy. Taking the trash out, you know, because everybody is needed. You're worthy working at Wendy's. You're worthy being that that bus driver. Like, everybody matters and everybody's important. So I just want to let anybody know, listen, wherever you are in your life, even if it might not be the best job, be grateful where you are. You get what I mean? Be grateful until God can provide for you to have better. You get what I mean? And while we are where we are, let our heart posture be right. You know, let our heart be right before God, you know? So that was one of the things I said today about finding something to be grateful for. So every show, I'm always going to say that to my listeners, you know, when you are down and out and life seems to be lifing and it gets dark and all you can see is darkness around you, always know that if the sun is going to come out eventually, it cannot rain forever. All right. And so find something to be grateful for. So right now I'm grateful for Tommy and grateful for Brother O for that fire music that he's been putting out, and I'm grateful for you guys. All right, so caller two, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Judith Webb. I'm calling from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, and I am really enjoying the show. I also have an internship with WBNN on June 20th at 9:30, so I'm hoping that you'll tune in and everyone will listen, and I'm just enjoying the transparency too, because I think that's so important that we're transparent with people, because a lot of people are suffering right now, and as long as they know that we've gone through it and have made it out, I think it just helps them to be encouraged. So keep encouraging people. It's great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, and I pray that your show, you know, will be successful and just keep going. I wanted to say one thing. Yes, thank you so much. I think we have a caller three in queue. So caller three, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, Ricardo. It's Jerry Petito, sweetie.
Hi, Jerry.
So I want to say hello to you, of course, and I want to say hello to your guests. Tell me again the title of your book.
Sure. The book is called Running Through the Rain, My Stories, Reflections, and Kind Reminders.
I love that title. You know, I'm an author as well, and I interview a lot of authors and a lot of people with challenges and people who have attempted suicide. And just listening to you talk and even the sound of your voice is comforting.
Wow.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because sometimes, and you know this, I don't have to tell you, you know, God allows us to go into the depths, right? So that
yes, ma'am.
When he brings us out of it, then we can help other people who are going through it. And
yes, ma'am.
It's just up to us to accept that and say, yes, God, use me. And that's what you've done. And
wow.
I just God bless you.
Wow. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. That just made my entire evening.
You made my evening. I got to say, Ricardo, this is a beautiful show, and you guys did make my evening.
Thank you, Jerry.
There's so many people out there that need to hear it.
Wow. Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry, and I hope that you're feeling better. Thank you so much, always, for your support.
Thank you.
So I wanted to say, so you had touched on something real briefly, and we don't have to talk about it in depth if you don't want to, you know.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think the stigma is in men who may have been sexually maybe molested, and why don't you think more men who have been molested, why don't you think they come forward and share their story?
Wow. So that's a lot to unpack. So when you're speaking about men and molestation, you're talking about a form of trauma. And when you're dealing with that form of trauma, and not just that form of trauma, but when we really step back, that's just one form of trauma. But there are other forms of trauma that men encounter, but men are not given permission to cry. Men are not given permission to be. When God breathed the breath of life into man, when God created us, he made us whole beings. We have emotions, we have thoughts, but how society would have it is that men are only allowed to either be angry or be sexual. Men are not given the space to be emotionally complex beings. So in a way, it's almost like society does like these spiritual lobotomies on men. So there's like a disconnect between a man and his emotions, a disconnect. And when there's that disconnect between a man and his emotions, then there's a disconnect between, a disconnect between a man and his spirit. There's a disconnect between him and his emotions, him and his story, him and his truth, and how he sees his story, how he deals and how he approaches his story. It becomes twisted and convoluted. So what happens is there's a story, and it's not even a story, but there's something that I say in the book, and it's called misplaced tear ducts, which means that all men cry, but all tears are not made of water. So when you see, sometimes when you see a man being overly aggressive, or you see a man who's overly sexual, or you see a man who shuts down, or you see a man who's doing these type of behaviors, or who's too hard or too macho, sometimes that is his way of crying, because he wasn't allowed to cry in any other area of his life. So when we deal with something such as molestation, something that is tragic, something that is devastating, he's never really been given permission, especially for something like that that can rob him of his what he would think is his manhood. There's been no opportunity for him to bridge that, to even talk about that. So instead of talking about it, he swallows it. So that thing stays within him, and you'd be surprised that some of the listeners, some of your fathers were molested, some of your uncles were molested, but you would never know because they never talk about it, especially in black communities. I know a lot of black men who have been molested by uncles, by aunts, by cousins, et cetera. It is something that is very pervasive, but because men are not allowed to share that or get that off of their heart because of shame, because of fear, because there's no safety, because they don't feel safe enough to do that, and because of standards and expectations, then they hold that within themselves, and they carry that in, and then it shows up in other areas of their lives. So that's one of the reasons that men may not come forward with that. And a lot of times also I think men may not come forward with that is because a lot of men may think that they were the only ones who that has happened to.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important for us to tell our stories so that other men are aware, this happens. But not only does this type of stuff happen, but there is healing available. You don't have to stay in that space, because as long as you stay in that space, you'll always be that six-year-old boy who's in the size of a 50-year-old man's body. You'll be that 13-year-old boy who's in a 30-year-old man's body. And there's always going to be a disconnect between the 13-year-old you and the 50-year-old you until the 13-year-old and the 50-year-old inside of you have that conversation and heal from whatever that thing was.
Wow. Amazing. Oh, goodness. This is good. I don't know, bro. We might need to have to do a part two. All right. So track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
Before I bring on the track that we, you know, of your live tonight by Kiara Sheard, I'm going to bring back on Jerry Petito very briefly to talk about tomorrow's show that's very, very near and dear to my heart and the rest of the world.
Ricardo, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, he can. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to be doing an added show this month. My regular show is the end of the month, Beverly Bremer's on the 30th. But tomorrow I'm going to do a show I did a couple years ago honoring all Italians all over the world. So, guys, please call in. Please listen to the show. I'm Italian, obviously, and this just means so much to me. And when Brother O asked me to do it, I felt honored. So I just wanted to let everybody know that.
And, of course, it will be a live show. This is the second presentation of our love for all Italians around the world tomorrow night. I'm not going to tell you the soundtrack because it's my surprise to all of the world. Hey, Kiara, what you about to do, girl?
Wow, they done took us to church, bro. They done took us to church. I definitely was, you know, texting you, telling you, like, the show is still not over. We still got some time, but I definitely would love for you to come back because this is really good. People need to hear that. People need to,
yeah.
I just wish we as men, like, really, it's just like when you was talking about the aggression and not,
mm-hmm.
for us not being open, you know, to have those
mm-hmm.
type of dialogues. I think about when we were filming a culture this weekend, I talked about how families and how we as families, a lot of times we don't come together unless there's a funeral or there's a graduation and how generation to generation, we have secrets. And,
yes, sir.
It's very unfortunate that we don't come together as a family, that we're not intentional about our time. We're not intentional about building relationships. And I was saying how I feel like the matriarchs of our family, like the foundation, mm-hmm. the grandmas, you know, they're dying out. And the grandmas of today are like 29, 30-something years old. So it's just like it's no Sunday dinners anymore. You know, it's when I grew up, bro, my cousins were my brothers. You get what I mean? My family, like, they kept us close together. And it's like this generation is dropping the ball because it's all about self. It is all about, well, it's about me and my kids and my immediate family. And it's just I, and it suffers. So I was talking about how the breakdown of communication and with the family. So when you have two siblings beefing, then it triggers on down to the children. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just...
Mm-hmm.
It just causes separation in the generations to come. So people don't realize, like, your life is just not about you. It affects the people that's connected to you. And that's why I think healing is so important. Let me give you another example. Like, my dad is the type of person, he doesn't want any, like, he's the type of person, he's laid back. He doesn't want anything from anybody. He works hard for everything he got. And I remember it was a time where last year me and him was talking, and I wanted to do something nice for him. And he's like, no, no. And I realized in that moment I had got a revelation that this is where I get it from. And I said, Dad, I need you to allow me to do something nice for you so that way you can give me permission for others to do things nice for me. And that way I can do things nice for me. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a learned behavior because people don't realize, like I realized as a teacher, like, my kids aren't always going to maybe listen to everything that I say, but they're going to watch everything I do. And I realized that, like,
mm-hmm.
I'll say something, and I felt like I was getting a little convicted because there was this little boy in my class that was off the hook. I was like, I'm taking you to another class. And I started feeling bad. And I remember one of the kids was like, such and such, you're going to somebody else's class. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, these kids are, you know, out of frustration, these kids are, they're listening to what I'm saying, and they're watching everything that I'm saying, you know, even though they might not necessarily do everything that I ask them to do, but they're watching me. So I think that's why it's so important for us as believers and as people in general, like, to live it out. Because it's easy to say all day, God, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then it's like, well, how do I treat my mother? You get what I'm saying? How do I treat my coworkers? How do I treat, you know, the mailman? How do I treat people? You know, so it's important, you know, to be authentic and to really live this thing out, you know. So that really, really stuck with me because there's so many men, they're angry, and they don't know how to talk, and they don't want to talk because they've been silenced for so long. Like, and I said this on my radio show a couple of months back, like, we as kids, it's like, well, you're a little boy, it's just like, stop crying. You know, you ain't going to be no punk. Be tough. And I don't think our moms or whoever are raising us, they're not realizing that they're essentially creating an emotional, emotionless, I would say, man. And that little boy's going to grow up and be somebody's husband. And you're kind of creating a monster in a sense.
And you know what? To piggyback off of what you're saying, being forced to be silent is traumatic in and of itself, because now what you've done in order for me to fit into this model of masculinity that society has identified as a norm and a standard, you've robbed me of my voice. So now I can't cry.
That's
now cool. I can't speak. Now I can't say what's going on. So now that, because that doesn't disappear, the pain doesn't disappear because my voice did. The pain is still there, but now I get it out in a different way. One of the things that you said that was so profound was you saw a generational cycle, and you saw the thread that was existing, that existed between you and your father. And one of the things that I'll also say is that one of the reasons why some people don't want things being done for them is because that provides an aspect of vulnerability. Because in order for me to allow you to show me an act of kindness, in order for me to receive an act of kindness, I have to lower my walls down a bit. So sometimes for some of us, we've had to be so strong and so self-reliant that we actually don't want acts of kindness, or even when acts of kindness, and I feel this is healing somebody, even when acts of kindness come forth, and even when people have pure motives, we often look at them with a side eye, like, okay, what are you here for? What are you up to? And
right.
We don't even know that the issue isn't with them. The issue is with us, that there's something that there may be some residue or something within us that has not been addressed, and something in us that we may need to confront. But I appreciate you for even seeing that cycle and being intentional with breaking it. And I feel that in order for many of us to grow, it's not always, we sometimes have to sit down and look at the cycles in our family, because there are cycles and there are there's repetitions and there's a rhythm that every family has. And sometimes what God will do is you will be the disruptor of that cycle. And that's why some of your listeners may not fit in with the rest of their families, and that's why some of them may be considered the black sheep, and that's why some of them may be getting talked about, because you may not fit in because you're the disruptor who God has positioned to disrupt the cycle. So as you sit in your family and as you look, see if there's, okay, so I see that all the women get divorced, all the women have nasty moms, or all the men, you know, they just run through women. You're seeing these cycles, but you may be in position for you to be that person that ends that cycle. You can make that decision.
Amen. I love that. I was going to say, like, why do you think it's hard for us to do the work? Like, why do we as people, all kind of people, it's like we don't want to do the work. You know, we'd rather stay high up. We'd rather stay drunk up. We'd rather run, you know. Like, I haven't been in a relationship in almost 2 years, and it was so important for me after the last relationship I was in for me to really do the healing. And that's hard because as men, we don't want to sit down. We don't want to deal with our emotions. We don't want to deal with ourselves. So I always say you have men out here, right, who go from relationship to relationship, be in relationships, still dealing with other women inside that relationship, and some of these men wouldn't even deal with them, but then they expect women to deal with them. Like, you don't even deal with – you won't even date you. You get what I mean? But you're expecting somebody mm-hmm. to deal with what you don't want to deal with. And mm-hmm. I think that is so important, I think, to – for us to do the work. And I realized that, like, we don't want to do the work, you know, because it's hard. So we'd rather stay, like I said, we would rather keep running or stay high up. Or, like, even with me, bro, I would say one of my coping mechanisms has been to work. You get what I mean? To mm-hmm. work. To work, work, work. Like, when things are going crazy and that's all I know how to do is just work, keeping my mind busy. So that's how... And I didn't realize that at times I was making it an idol. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes instead of going to God, it's just like, I'm just going to work, you know? And a lot of times we think like, oh, because I'm not worshiping an idol, you know, or golden staff, or I'm not, well, I ain't drinking, I ain't smoking. But at the end of the day, whatever we place before God is an idol, no matter how big or small it is in our eyes, you know? So, but I want to know why, like, why are we afraid as men to be by ourselves? Why are we as men afraid to get to the healing, as I say? Like, let's get to the healing. Why are we afraid to, like, be ourselves? Like, I see so many black men, like, when I ride through the projects and ride through the hood, like, because I'm from Trenton. Trenton is a city, you know, and it's the capital of New Jersey, and it's basically the hood. And I realized, like, before I used to see people, you know, selling drugs, being in front of the corner store, that was the norm. Man. That's all I saw my whole life. But now that I'm getting older and I'm being exposed to different things, I literally, like, my heart, it aches a little bit because I'm like, yo, like, who said you're that person? Like, who said that you can't decide today that, guess what, yeah, I'm from the projects, like, yeah, I did X, Y, Z, yeah, I did some things that I ain't proud of, but I don't have to be this person. And it's just like, I feel like these men or these group of people, whatever the race is, need permission to say, guess what, you know, you don't got to live like this, right? You know that this ain't all there is. You get what I mean? Like, and I don't know, it pricks my heart a little bit, like, because, and I think I told you, and all my listeners know, you know, my brother died in the streets as he was beginning to make changes in his life. He got murdered, but I realized that sometimes when God calls you out and tells you not to go back, you can't go back, because the moment you begin to go back for a second, it can literally cost you your life. When God removes you from a situation, you get what I mean? Sometimes you can't go back. Sometimes you just got to go. When God say go, you got to go. You can't look back. You got to move forward. So I don't know who that's for, but, you know, I just want to put that out there. But I wonder why we are afraid to be our authentic self. Like, why are we afraid to not, you know, to get do the work?
So that's loaded, right? So there's a part there where we're dealing with authenticity. Then you also mentioned coping mechanisms, and then you also mentioned the ability to change. Going from selling drugs and whatnot to, you know, changing that path. So when we're dealing with authenticity, it's my belief that a lot of men were not given permission to be authentic, because men are, contrary to what many people believe, men don't just eat meat and potatoes, grunt, scratch their butts, and then go to a man cave and then just progenitors. Men can be nurturers. Men are capable and competent. Men are able to have emotional complexity. Men can be sensitive. So there's a gambit that's there. But again, if they're not given that permission from boys to express and experience themselves. It's not even about experiencing the world around them. If they're not given permission to experience themselves outside of being sexual beings and outside of being angry beings, then we're not going to see the fullness of a man come to fruition. And when we're dealing with coping mechanisms, and you're saying why don't we want to do the work? Because the work is hard. And a lot of times the work really is really looking at ourselves in the mirror, in the figurative mirror, and being honest about what's there. And not just being and not being honest about what's there in such a way where it's that person's fault or this person's fault, but really just being honest about what's there, being honest about the story, being honest about the feeling that you have, even if it's a feeling that may be more complex than what you will want. So I'll give you an example. So somebody passes. You know, you will want to say, okay, well, you know what, I'm sad that they're gone. But the feeling that we don't want to acknowledge, the feeling of anger that that person left, or the feeling that we may feel betrayed that that person left, we have to own the entire story. And it's not until we really sit down and own that entire story then we can really go ahead and start healing and start moving forward. So these coping mechanisms, and that's why, like you were saying, like people, you know, with the, you know, getting high and this, that, and the third, you know, these coping mechanisms are nothing more than temporary things that fill these voids. That and you'll need a stronger high to continue to keep yourself at an even keel or at a certain level or at a certain norm. But the moment that we say to ourselves, you know what, and acknowledge, okay, this is a coping mechanism. Here is where I really am. I need help. That's when we can start to heal, when we start to be honest about where we are. And the same thing goes for men. When we're honest about where we are, and again, that may take some time for a lot of us to get to that space because, again, it's for us because there's been such a disconnect because many men are fragmented. You have this side of the man over here, and you have this side over here. So it really is about pulling these various pieces of a man together.
Right. Wow. All right. Check next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
You want, you got all you need, I just need you to be, cause I know.
are back. So one of my questions was, because I wanted to get some back to the book. I wanted to know, like, writing this book, when did it start, the desire to write the book? Like, when did it start, and when did you actually, like, kind of put the plan in motion, and then, like, how long did it take to actually complete it?
Yeah, so I started it maybe 3-4 years ago, and it started with a marble notebook and a box of cheap pens from CVS or ShopRite or something like that. And I wrote. I tore pages out. I wrote some more because it was, and then I wrote, and then I finished in 2022, the beginning of 2022 is of last year is when I finished writing it, had it, got it copyrighted, and got it typeset and all that other stuff for it to be published and whatnot. But it took me a couple years to write it. One, because some of the stories were sensitive, and I didn't know that I hadn't healed from some of those stories. I didn't know. And so going back to some of the stuff was very sensitive to me, and I had to drop my pen and give myself some time and give myself some air to breathe and refocus. And even when I was writing this story about when I was touched as a boy, I actually had to call a therapist friend of mine and say, I'm having trouble with writing this part of my story. I thought that I was over this part, but this part right here is really hard for me. And she was amazing, and she, you know, talked me through some things and helped me make sense of some things, which I thought was excellent. And then after that part, after I had my rough draft done, the job of an editor is to tell you that your book is trash. So you go in saying, hey, I got my first 5 chapters written. Your editor says, no, you don't. All you have is an introduction. And so I'm not going to lie. Like, sometimes the feedback that you get from the editor, sometimes it can be very discouraging, you know. And I had very kind editors who were very mindful of their feedback. But at the same time, it was still feedback nonetheless on something that was very sensitive. So with that, there were times when I got discouraged with the book. So it probably could have taken a shorter time to write and pull together. But with any journey, you know, it's never really linear. You know, there's backwards, forwards, diagonals, ups and downs. But guess what? It is okay, and that is a part of the journey. Whether you're writing a book, whether you're starting a business, or whether it's even the healing process, it's never linear. So just go with the ebb and flow of whatever comes with that process. But it took me a couple years to write this.
Wow. Amazing. I'm so glad that you're sharing your story. And before we go to the call, I want to, again, let anybody out there know, like, listen, you have a story to tell. Please do not allow yourself to die full. Like, you have something to offer to this world. We need you out there. You get what I mean? I was listening the other day to Tyler Perry. Anybody don't know, like, early on in, you know, my writing journey, this was somebody that I look up to. I still admire Tyler Perry. I don't really watch a lot of his shows, but I do admire his hustle and where he came from. So basically, he was talking about how it was a time where it got so dark for him, and how he was living in this motel where it was, you know, people that were struggling with drugs and, you know, crack addicts and all different type of people. And he felt like he wanted to commit suicide. And he said something about that. He literally wanted the fumes from the cars, you know, from the exhaust pipes or whatever, when people were going out to start the car up in the morning. He wanted the fumes to come into the hotel room, his hotel room, and just, you know, he just go to sleep from the carbon monoxide. And he said, I guess that morning, it just as if everybody, you know, started their car and just had left. And he said, you know what, if I would have died, if I would have killed, you know, if I would have committed suicide, if I would have died, he said, I would have missed the very most important parts of my life later. If anybody knows about the story of Job, you know that he went through hell on earth. He lost 10 of his kids. He lost everything. But in the end, it says, God says that your latter days will be your greater days. You get what I mean? Like your latter days will be your better days. So he's talked about how if he would have gave up, there are so many people that was connected to him, then they wouldn't have been able to dream. They wouldn't have known that it was possible. You get what I mean? So sometimes God will use one person to help heal a nation of people. So anybody out there that's dealing or going through anything that has a dream and might not necessarily be a writer. It could be a gymnast. It could be wanting to start a trucking business. It could be anything, whatever it is. Listen, the world needs you. We need your story. So caller four, who are you and where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name is Matthew Graham. I'm calling from South Jersey. I tuned in a little bit late tonight. But I'm definitely glad I tuned in. You always have a good show. I caught you your first evening on the show. You're like really refreshing, relaxing to the spirit. And I caught you said a couple things. There was a really good selection a second ago also, my brother. Oh, I don't know who that was singing. It was like a really aquatic R&B song that was really hot. You said something a second ago that kind of – well, you said a lot of things. Congratulations on the book
Thank you.
The other fellow. Yes, you know, with your editor and all getting everything together. And you spoke a second ago about when God says you got to go, you got to go. When you were talking about how us as men, we have different temperaments to ourselves where – I believe I know what you mean. Like sometimes we're looked at as though we have to always be on our toes. And why? I mean, we do. We always like we have to be fierce. But then there's times that we have to fall back. There's times where we have to be more watery in nature and more receptive, so that we have an opening ear to those around us. But there's other times that we have to be like a leader and forceful. And it reminded me of Deuteronomy chapter 31. And when you said God says, you got to go, you got to go. And it talks about how God charged Moses. Moses then charged Joshua, and Joshua charged Israel. And it's kind of like when we charge the cell phone, we plug it in, right? And the cell phone gets all that energy and it's built up. And I believe the Creator charges us. As it says in like chapter 31, it would always say, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is with you, to go with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. But then Moses called unto Joshua and said, unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So it's kind of like the Creator will charge one of us. One of us will have that energy in us to charge the next. And we as men, it's almost like we're in a position as men to be the head of the household, to be the ones, most of the time. Sometimes we go through things in life, and I know you mentioned some things, you know, that happened to you, and we go through some things, and we wish these things didn't happen, and we got to fall back, and I know, like, things happen to me. Some people tried to kill me when I moved to a town, and I spent, like, years thinking to myself, and I know you probably said the same thing yourself. You probably feel like, why did this person do this, or why did these people do this? First, you want to ask yourself over and over, because you might be a spiritual being, and you'll look at other people and expect them to be as spiritually in tune as you are, but they're not built like you. You'll look at them and be like, well, how could this person do something like this? Like, why would they do? And I spent years asking myself that question. Why would these jokers do this to me? Why would this function do this? They're not like you. You're cut from a completely different cloth. You may be charged from hearing the word. You may have things happen that you feel may be staring you in different directions, dreams, visions, intuition. And people don't understand that. And there might be people that see that in you, and there are evil entities out there that don't like that. They actually envy that in you. And when you're younger and you're pure, they envy it even more. It's something that some of these creatures, sinister hearts, they wanna know that they can have authority and power over you, but you in your own heart and your own spirit know that only the Creator will have that power over you. And they don't like that. So they want to try to manipulate you in either physical or spiritual ways. But it's good to hear you speak about these things. It's good to hear that you're both like bouncing off of each other's energy. I love everything you're doing. I love Brother O in the background dropping those great tunes. Thanks again for like another exceptional show. And I'll leave it at that for right now. I don't want to talk too much.
Nah, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I definitely remember you calling in a couple months back, but I definitely appreciate it. Definitely. Thank you so much. Wow. Yeah, that was amazing. So I wanted to know, like, if you could have it your way, like, what do you want the book to do? Like,
That is that's a really good question, Ricardo. I want people to take the book and sit with it and allow it to serve as like a magnifying glass for their own lives, for them to be able to explore their lives, their hearts, their minds, themselves. And I also want the book to give permission. I want it to give people permission to see their story, own their story. And if there's healing that needs to take place, that healing takes place, and that the barriers to healing are removed. So a barrier to healing could be shame, beating ourselves up over a mistake, or beating ourselves up because somebody told us it was our fault. I want this book to help remove some of that so that it can ignite, charge, and serve as a catalyst for people in their own healing journey, where with whatever that healing looks like, and wherever that healing journey takes them.
Wow, because we need that permission. You know, I see myself, bro, like, just these kind of conversations I think is needed. And like I've always said, like in my mind, I would love to have like a men conference, like where we as men just come together, we talk about our trauma, you know, we heal, we cry, you know, we dab up, we give each other a hug, we talk to the little boy inside of us, you know, one person talking to the other person. And before I go to the track, I wanted to say, the other day I was praying for my aunt, and literally as I began to pray for her, bro, I started speaking to the little girl that was inside of her. I didn't even know where that came from. I began to speak to the little girl inside of her. My aunt's like in her 50s. And I just was like, wow, this is a different type of prayer, you know? So I pray for anybody out there, listen, begin to speak over the little boy, the little girl inside of you that may be broken, and let that little boy or little girl know that, listen, it's time to make steps to being to be healed and to being whole. And I don't know if we as people ever, I believe in God, we could be a whole, but as far as being in his body, being his flesh, I'm not really sure. But I think that is still important to, again, like I said, get to the healing, you know? So Track next by international DJ legend, Brother O. Can't believe this show was fire, bro. Like, I would love for you to come back. You know, I feel like we didn't get to all our questions, so I would definitely love for you to come back. And if you are available, we'll talk about that after. I wanted to know if you want to let the people know about where they could find the book at, if they wanted to purchase a copy, like, you know, give them all of that information in your social media and everything like that.
Absolutely. So my social media handles are, I'm on Facebook and I'm also on Instagram, and the social media handles for both are the exact same. It's T as in Tommy, W and Suggs. So it's TW Suggs, and Suggs is spelled S as in Sam, U-G-G-S. All right, so it's T.W. Suggs, and you can find the book everywhere books are sold. It's available on Amazon. It's available Walmart.com, Target.com, BarnesandNoble.com. So it's available everywhere books are sold.
Wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. All right, it's in Goldie time, everyone. Here's your mother and father's favorite producer.
Just said it'll keep happening, but look now, it's really happening. could thought was impossible.
Yeah.
You say yes, now he's on a roll. Yeah. Blessings keep packing. Warfare you packing. He's never leaving you alone. Whatever you speak it, I'm cold. Having you say help, he's backing up a bit. Whatever you say help, backing up a bed, yeah. Speak whatever you want. What you've been dreaming, you got it. And don't doubt it.
I need you on your feet tonight. Come on.
What
come on.
Come
on. Come on. People for miracles.
People for miracles.
perform miracles just like he said he would. This franchise is a miracle. Ricardo Rashard came on in 2021. You know, he was finding his way. But between 2022 and 2023 in May, I've seen this franchise grow expediently. Congratulations to Ricardo Rashard on his 14th WBNN Beverly Nation All-Time Connection record, honoring the late, great Darlene Lawrence. 14 all-time, three consecutives. And this is not the first time he's had consecutive records. I'm proud of Ricardo. He's fought through all the obstacles, losing his brother, losing his godmother, and all the things that's happened in his life, and he still comes on to the radio. I remember when his brother passed, he still wanted to do a show, and I said, no. I love your earnest, through your spirit of expectation, but no, I wasn't going to allow it. He needed to be with his family, and I was so proud of him, and he always makes me proud. The outstanding Ricardo Rashard tonight. Tomorrow night, we have a special show, and it's honoring all Italians around the world. Presented to you by the International Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever for the class of 2021. The outstanding judges, Joel, Jerry Petito, and our show will start at 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here on the one and only Beverly Nation. WBN is advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time, Ola Dali Malay, we go to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or one for programming tonight, Ola Day Lay Down goes with mygmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dali Malay, and Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to my man, my mellow. He gets on the mic because he knows he's jello. Ricardo Rashard.
All right, you guys. Again, I am so, so grateful for all of you guys. I never thought in a million years, you know, that I would be doing radio. For anybody that don't know, when I was younger, I was very insecure about my speaking voice because my voice is a lot softer. But I'm grateful that even in my insecurities, that God can still use me, you know, that I was able to push past my feelings and realize that, again, that my identity is not in my feelings and in my insecurities, but my identity is in who God says I am. I want to offer anybody out there just the free gift of salvation. I can't give it to you, but only Jesus can. I can just give you the invitation and let you know that this is the man that saved my life. God can be very personal to you, though, you know, and a lot of people don't know that. Some people think that God is so far away because he's, you know, he sits high, he looks low, but God is really omnipresent. He's everywhere, and God is waiting for you just to come to him. Listen, I ran for so long from God, you know, because I was so busy caught up in what I was caught up in my life. I thought I was young like Jeremiah, and I still wanted to have fun, you know, and I thought that I didn't think I could have fun and be a Christian, you know, so I still wanted to turn up. And God, when I surrendered and gave God my life, it's the best decision I ever made. But it was hard, and the enemy, the devil, didn't want to let me go. You get what I mean? So it took me some time to really fully submit to God. But I have to tell you, like, for me, I want to be a soul winner for God. So I sit back and tell y'all, you know, about the series and all of these great things that's happened, and I'm grateful for God, grateful to God for all those things. But what I want more than anything is to win souls for Christ. So anybody out there, you know, you can decide today. You don't have to wait till your deathbed. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You can decide today that guess what? You choose Jesus. All you have to do is really believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it's not a typical prayer. It's just you praying out and you crying out to God and just being sincere, you know, with God and telling God you need. And when it talks about repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's really about changing your life, but the Holy Spirit to come help you if you really want it. So I urge all my listeners to get a relationship with Jesus Christ before it's too late. I'm going to end it off with this. My ninth grade teacher, I said this at my movie premiere, she told me that, she said this, if you were to die today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or hell? And I said, well, I would go to heaven because I'm a good person. But being a good person is not enough. We need Jesus. So while you got breath in your body, you still have purpose. So choose Jesus. Choose life, you know. The devil can only offer us crumbs when God want to give us, you know, everything. And it doesn't mean that everything is going to go right, but life is better, so much better with Jesus. So choose Jesus today. And I thank you guys. I love you. Remember, I'm just a boy from East Trenton that just want to be used by God. I hope you guys have a blessed day, a great night, and take care. I love you guys.